Last week we learned that if we're going to be doers of the word, then we have to get the tackle out. We have to fish for the spiritually lost, because we're commanded to do so. Because a miracle happened to us, and we should be excited about that and tell people about it. And ultimately, because if we are true believers in Christ, He gives us a supernatural love for others within the church and for the lost outside the church. It's imperative, then, that we love people to loving Jesus, because their eternity is at stake. Therefore, it's also essential that we train ourselves, proverbially, how to fish. In other words, how to share the gospel with others and start getting good at it. You can't get good at it just by reading up on it. You got to go and have hands-on training. So today we're going to together go over the simplicity of the gospel as we reiterate the importance of how to fish for the spiritually lost. Will you pray with me? Holy God, today may very well be, for some, an elementary type sermon. But Lord, we need to be reminded of the simplicity of the gospel. We need to be reminded of the importance of fishing for men. We need to be, unlike the father in a story, we need to be ones that can give answers about what we believe and what we know. Holy Spirit, speak through me. Work in my heart. Work in the hearts of those hearing my voice. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to ask that you turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. Now, a few weeks ago, I told about a particular event for the children's sermon. We even sang a song about this biblical event that I talked about. And I love how this event that we're about to read shows the compassion of Jesus even in the middle of naysayers who should have known better. Luke chapter 19, then, starting at verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. There was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was not able because of the crowd, since he was a short man. So running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, because today I must stay at your house." So he quickly came down and welcomed him joyfully. All who saw it began to complain. "How is he's gone to lodge with a sinful man?" they said. But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, Lord. And if I've extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. Today, salvation has come to this house," Jesus told him, "because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." Now, what a story. Well, we call it a story, but it was actually an event. It happened. This happened. This little man wanting to see Jesus. He had heard about Jesus. He had wondered about Jesus. He had heard of the life-changing message. And that was besides all the miracles he had heard. He wanted to see Jesus. If you remember another story, there was a woman who had a blood disorder that nobody could heal. And she knew, she didn't even think that she needed to see Jesus. She thought if she could push through the crowd and just touch the hem of his garment, she would be healed, and that's exactly what happened. Just to touch his robe. Zacchaeus was one who said, if I could just see him, it'll change my life. If I could just see him, it'll change my life. And Jesus, however, had even more in store for Zacchaeus. He wasn't oblivious to who he was, what he was. He was a tax collector. I mean, come on. When's the last time you invited an unknown IRS agent into your house to let them see everything you have? Anybody? When's the last time you had an IRS agent out of the blue invite you to their house? Jesus saw Zacchaeus. And he said, listen, buddy, you don't need to be in that tree. You need to take me to your house. Because he didn't say, hey, may I come to your house? He said, I must be at your house today. I must be there. Now, everybody else around is sitting there going, this guy's the worst of the worst. He's a Jew, and he's robbing the Jews. He's cohorting with the enemy, the Romans, and making them money off of us. And Jesus is going to eat with them. Unbelievable. Zacchaeus, obviously he didn't care about that because that's exactly what he was doing. They were right. But he saw the Lord and it changed him. And Zacchaeus gave up his most prized possession, money. He said, I'm going to give to the poor. I'm going to give half of what I... This guy's very wealthy. I want you to understand, I can't get into details, don't have time, but in this time in history, a tax collector was very, very rich. One of the richest in any province of Rome. And he was giving up half of it to the poor. Willing then, and by the way, extorting people, and he would have kept records of it. Just about every person that had something, he extorted from. He might have let some of the poorer people off with just their taxes. But the people that had something, oh, he went after them. This guy's going to have way less than half of his possessions when he's done. But this is what he's doing. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. You see, in this we see Zacchaeus' confession and repentance to Almighty God. In this we see Zacchaeus' recognition that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. In this we see the salvation of a sinner through Jesus Christ. And so then Jesus commented to all, the Son of Man, meaning me, not me, but Jesus, has come to seek and to save the lost. It's important to note here that Jesus is most concerned about those who are spiritually lost. Hold it. Not just the lost. Because you see, Jesus was in a crowd of lost people. Oh, they claimed to know God. I'm a son of Abraham. I know God. They claimed to know God, but they were lost. Folks, I just want to say, if you are in here today and you claim to know God, you claim to know Jesus, make sure you're not lost. Because there was a crowd of people here that claimed to know Jesus, claimed to know God, and they were lost. And I will tell you, there are a lot of churchgoers that claim to know God and claim to know Jesus, and they're lost. Billy Graham himself said, He absolutely believes that less than 15% of churchgoers will actually go to heaven. So I say, you who are here, you who hear my voice, if you claim Jesus to know, I believe Jesus, I believe in him, make sure you're not lost. Jesus didn't just come to save the lost. What he's really saying here is he came to seek those who, when they're confronted with the truth, will know that they're lost, will humble themselves to admit that they're lost. Zacchaeus knew he was a sinner. He knew he had nothing to offer God. He knew he was lost. He didn't know it all his life. He knew it when he was confronted with Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we need to confront people with Jesus. Then, if they are spiritually lost, we need to seek those who know it, will admit it, and humble themselves to it, and then not give up on those that don't. Well, don't give up on those that don't. Where will we find the spiritually lost who know they're lost? Sometimes you do find them in the walls of a church building, because someone may come just looking for God and they walk in. But most of the time, we're going to find them in the crowds of our community. And it is there, in the crowds of the lost, that we may find someone, when confronted with Jesus, knows they're lost. The lure we use in fishing for men, for lost souls, lost spiritually lost souls, is ourselves. It's ourselves as we live out with our life and our words Jesus. Yes, they should see a difference in us. If someone were to walk alongside us, like at work or in our neighborhood, they should see a difference in who we are from everybody else. Not being weird and, you know, whatever else. Not that. But in our spirit. In our, the way we talk, in the way we interact and react, they should see a difference. But it's not just that. The lure is ourselves personified in this: loving people to loving Jesus. You see, when I first came here to be the pastor of the body of Zor Baptist Church, I told everyone that not as a motto, not as my mission, but someone who I strive to be. I strive to be because I feel God has called me to be a person that loves people to loving Jesus. And then I said, if God then has called me to be that, and then he's called me to be pastor of the body of Zor Baptist Church, then guess what? I believe God is calling this body to be people, made up of people, who will go out and love people to loving Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that there has been just about 4 years of groundwork that God has been laying here at Zor Baptist Church since I've been here, beyond the groundwork that was laid before that. For this time, for now, I prayed for 2.5 years for God to release me to be able to preach sermons like this. And he didn't. He wouldn't. If you go back and you listen to my sermons, or just peruse them or whatever, you'll see I didn't preach a lot about go out. I preached a lot about we need to love each other, because you know what? That's essential. That's our foundation. Relationship with Jesus, a loving, proper relationship with Jesus, then should look like it in the church, in the body, with each other. Loving each other. When we have disagreements, that's okay. We're still going to love through them. And we've been working on that. And then a year and a half ago, in the spring, in my prayer time and in my preparation time, God released me to start preaching sermons about reaching others. And I started with talking about just make one new friend. Just make one new friend. Why? Because we need to be fishers of men. We have a task then to be all that we need to be for the spiritually lost around us. Not compromising on our biblical principles, but certainly compromising on the things that we're comfortable with. We need to be able to be uncomfortable if we want to reach the lost. Where do I base this from? I want to tell you, it is scriptural, it is biblical. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 20 to 22. Paul said this to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law. Though I myself am not under the law, I did it to win those under the law. To those who are without the law, I became like one without the law, not being without God's law, but within Christ's law. In other words, staying within the principles of God's commands. To win those without the law. To the weak, I became weak in order to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that I may by every possible means save some. Are we willing to do that? You know, if you go fishing and you really want to catch fish, you know I'm not a serious fisherman because you're not going to find me up at crack of dawn fishing. But if I really want to catch fish, I'm going to be up at crack of dawn fishing. Not just in the evening when I hope to catch something on top water. If I was a true fisherman, I would be studying and then going out and trying things, even in the middle of winter. Because Bill Moore promises, I'll come to fall and he'll say, oh, this is the best time of year to fish. Coming into February, oh, this is the best time of year to fish. And so he tells me that every time. And here's what you do, and here's how you do it. If I was a true fisherman, I'd go out and do it. But listen, I don't care about that. I do care about fishing for men. I want to be about my Savior's business, don't you? I claim Christ. He's commanded me to do it. He's done a miracle in my life that I can share with others. And He's given me capacity to love the lost. Shouldn't I do it then? Shouldn't I go fishing? Shouldn't I make that a priority in my life, even if it's uncomfortable? Even if I have to change things that I've done for decades, I have to change the way it's always been. The thing is, it doesn't even have to be drastic changes. Sometimes it's just a matter of walking out that door and going and doing it with purpose, not just to go home and sit down and watch the game. But actually go out that door with purpose. To become all things to all, so we may win some. You see, that boy asked, how do we know we're going to catch fish? Well, I don't know. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Well, guess what? That's the same. That's why Paul gave the metaphor of watering and seeding and watering. And that's what we're to do. We're to seed and sow out the gospel. We're to water after someone else may have sown with the gospel, and we may see fruit. I hope I don't embarrass them by saying this, but I love them, I love this man so much. And it just touches my heart so often when I think of it. And that's our brother Arnold Gallion, who's gone to be with the Lord Jesus. But his family has prayed for him, and they prayed for more than 40 years. Now, they didn't just spend their time with him. I know some of them, they prayed for him for 40 years, and they were praying for others. And they were seeking others to fish for, love on, for Jesus. But what I praise God about 4 years ago, at age 84, Arnold, right here at this church, accepted Jesus as his Savior. Relationships took to the last moment, but relationships were repaired on this earth. He was a testimony. I remember sitting with him one time where he said and commented how much he noticed in his own life how much of a changed person he was. What are we willing to do? Are we willing to learn some verses so that we can be ready with the gospel? I believe you are. If you don't know him, I believe you're willing to know him. And so I would like to take just a few moments and walk you through the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you some references. I challenge you, write them down. Write them down, and then I challenge you to go home, look them up. If you've got a computer, if you have that availability, go to BibleGateway.com. BibleGateway, one word, .com. And you can pick any translation of the Bible you want. And then put those references that I'm going to give you in there. And you can actually copy and paste those onto some document thing. You can print them off so you can just have them right there to memorize. They're simple. Now, I just wrote, for myself, I just wrote the references down. I don't know a whole lot of scripture, honestly, compared to some I know. But I know these. You see, the first thing in sharing the gospel, people need to understand that no matter how good they are, no matter who they are a sinner in need of a Savior. And that they cannot obtain purity in their lives enough to equal the holiness of God. And so we have Romans 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. They need to understand, again, that it's not by any goodness they can come to of their own. So we can take them to a passage like Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, for it's by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not by your works. Otherwise, you could be prideful. Pride's the first sin. It got Satan cast out of heaven. We certainly aren't going to get in there with pride. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. People need to know that the payment for sin is an eternal payment. It's an eternal payment of death, not just physical. We all die physically, but forever death in hell. But God supplied a gift that covers that payment. All of that is said in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the payment of our sin is death. If you look in the Greek, that word is death or hell, eternal death. For the payment for our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, people need to know that there aren't many ways to heaven. There aren't many ways to be right with God. There's one way. One way. Only one way. They need to know that. And so we can memorize a verse like John chapter 14, verse 6. That's John chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus said of his own self, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And listen to this. No one comes to the Father No one comes to God. No one gets to heaven. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus' own words, John 14, 6. And then they need to know that salvation is simple. It's not complex. That's why Paul said in Corinthians that for the Gentiles, the gospel, the simplicity of the gospel is a stumbling block because we overthink everything. We do. We overthink everything. But they need to understand that salvation is simple. It's not complex. It is simply admitting you're a sinner and repenting, confessing that to Jesus. Then confessing that you believe that Jesus is alive and that He is going to be Lord and commander of your life from this point on. And that that He is the only way to God as Savior of their eternity. It's that simple. But here's the scripture passages. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. That if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Then there's Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 10, it says that if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you trust and are justified. And it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. You want it even more simple than that? A few verses more. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen and amen. Bottom line is this. It's got to start right here where you're at. We don't need to have the lost asking us how do fish breathe, and we say, I don't know, they just do. We need to say, how do people live without God? I have no idea, but here's how you can live with Him. That's what we need to be able to say. And they say, well, how do you catch fish? Throw in your line. Building up lures like these passages here, like our testimony, and relying on the Holy Spirit to lead us, as Jesus did, to seek those who are lost. We should seek those who are lost, and the Holy Spirit will lead us to the ones that we are to seed or water. We might even be the one that has the blessing of seeing the harvest. We'll say today, the catch. It's got to start right here with doing the best we can with what we have, where we're at. You see, I can come here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and I can share all kinds of fishing tips. I can. But you see, it's going to take each of us being willing to be trained as fishers of men, being willing to go then where the schools of the fish of the schools of the spiritually lost souls gather and throw the line in. Tell them about Jesus. Let them, like Zacchaeus, let them see Jesus. And let the Holy Spirit do the rest. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen race. That's us. A royal priesthood. That's us. A holy nation. Guess what? That's us. A people for God's possession. That's us. Why? So that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's Jesus. So our challenge this week is to actually, purposefully, share some or all of these verses with somebody that we suspect might be spiritually lost. Tell them. Maybe you've shown them Jesus. You've been to the store and had a smile on your face and been unlike maybe all the other customers they've had to deal with at the cash register. Maybe this time it's time for you to say, hey, listen, do you know Jesus? Because I do. And like if they say, man, I love your smile, you're so nice. And then just look at them and say, do you know Jesus? Because I do. And that's the reason I smile. At least that. Simple. Simple. But I don't want to send you out with that challenge without giving you a way to make it easy. Now, I've given these out before. I'm going to give them out again. These are life cards. I've found them to be extremely effective. They're printed on a thing that you can, they'll go through the washer and dryer. You don't have to test it, but it'll go through the washer and dryer. You swim with it in the ocean, whatever else, and it'll look just like this and pass it out to people. That's, honestly, I've seen some people that have cards like this in their wallet, and they're made out of paper, and, you know, perspiration on being nice, and things like that, and they look all ratty. These won't. They'll hold up. I'm gonna pass these out to everyone. You know, just grab one or so, and I'll have some extras at the end. Can I get someone to help me do that? Anybody willing? You can help. We'll do more than two or three helping me do that. And then I need a volunteer to come up here. So I want to show you just a simple way to start actually talking to people. Need a volunteer? Tommy? Thanks, bud. This is something I used to teach my youth groups, because you know what? This is a difficult thing sometimes when we, if we have never made a practice, I'm not saying we've never done it, but we've never made a practice of just telling someone and introducing Jesus, showing them Jesus. This is a great way to get talking. And if you look at the card, one way, it says life. The big word says life. And the other way, it says death. Start with life. The death freaks people out. Okay, so make sure that when they look at it, they see life. And all you have to do is, yeah, this is the way I've found. You can say it however you would, you can make it yours. But you just come up and say, excuse me, sir, can I show you something really neat? Okay, well, you know, you get the one, you say, okay, God bless you, or whatever, let them go their way. But if they don't do it that way, excuse me, sir, may I show you something neat?
Sure.
Hey, I came across a card like this, in, you know, at church, and can you make that word out?
Life.
That's right. Hey, I want to show you something. This is the neat part. Now, can you make that out?
Death.
Death. Now, I actually had some people in a store one time where a kid did that with someone, and they thought it was some kind of magic or something. No, but you know, we didn't get to witness the gospel to them because they thought we were like, I don't know, tarot card people or something. Seriously. But you start with life. And I noticed I didn't say, can you read that? But I think that's important. Because there are some people that can't necessarily make it out. There are others that can't read. I don't want to offend people. So you just say, can you make this out? And then you say, if they can't, you say, oh, if I told you it says life, can you see that in there? And most of the time, oh yeah, I can see that, whether they can or can't. And then you do the same with death. Say, can you make that out? That's important, I think. And then, if you just simply, you don't have much time, or they don't have much time, and obviously we're just kind of moving on, what I usually do, I say, I'd like to give this to you, would you like to have it? And they'll go to grab it like that, and I hold on to it just a little bit. Give them a little pressure so I'm not just letting it go. I say, but I'd ask you to check the back out as well. Have a great day. God bless you. That's simple. It's that simple. So you just come up, start with life, say, this time, hey, can I show you something really neat? Can I show you something cool? I want to show. I came across something really interesting, and just I'd like to just share with somebody because it's really, I think it's so neat. And it just showed life and then death. And on the front, of course, it says the gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin is death. On the back, however, are many of the verses I just shared with you. In short, there many of them are short, but you have man's need, Romans 3:23. Sin's penalty, Romans 6:23. God's provision, Romans 5:8. I didn't even give you that one, but that's another one that is excellent. Man's response, Romans 10:9 and 13. Right here is all a person needs from Scripture to be saved. Now, you can go beyond just handing them the card. If they think, oh, that's really neat, and God and the Holy Spirit preaches on you and say, can I show you the back? And it's simple. So someone's looking at it and they think, oh, that's really neat. And I'll say, can I show you the back? It talks about man's need. And it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you can just talk about the fact, you know, I realize that I'm a sinner. Don't talk about them. I realize I'm a sinner. Now, I'm a pretty good person and stuff, but I realize I come short of God's glory and His holiness. Have you ever thought that about yourself? You can just conversation. Just simple. Have you ever thought that about yourself, that you might not equal God's holiness? Just go, whatever. Thank you.
I have done that before, and I just want to encourage you not to be discouraged. Because I believe the highest majority of people that you approach are going to turn their back on you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be discouraged, because you're doing what God wants you to do. And what I like to do is show them the card, but also say, can I tell you what God has done for me?
There you go. Start with your testimony.
And normally people are curious enough to say, you know, even if they're a little sarcastic, well, what has God done for you? You get up, they open the door just a little bit. So just don't be discouraged, because it's really easy to have them turn their back.
It is. Thank you for that. And the point there is, remember, Jesus was in a crowd of people who said they believed in God. And yet when he was presenting the gospel, he had to do it in a crowd of naysayers who were basically trying to slander his integrity, slander his character, make fun of him for consorting with the laws. So, yes, that is correct. You may have some that they might take your card even, but seem like they want nothing to do with you. That's fine. But you may have some that take the card. They might let you share. You might even see harvest there. Or maybe you're just someone who plants a seed or water seed that's already been planted. And you never know. I think one of the neatest things is I went with some students. We went to King's Dominion for a day just for fun. And these were kids that had all been trained in sharing the gospel. And some of them, the farthest they, you know, for them it was a real challenge just to do it. I said, hey, can I show you something neat? You know, can you make this word out? Can you make that word out? Would you like to have it? Will you please read the back side? You know, some had only gotten that far. But I'm telling you what, these kids passed out cards, and they did one and two and five and ten. I was running out of cards because they were passing them out. But the neatest thing was, I actually saw where these sometimes middle schoolers sharing it with adults, things like that. And I saw where someone said, "That's I love that. Man, can I have some? I've got some friends over here. Can I have a couple more? I know they'd love it. Sure, take a couple more." You know, and they passed out like that. I also saw, this is one of the neatest things, we passed it out to a young man. And about an hour later, we were walking by, this was at King's Dominion, and I saw him sitting over on a bench, doing just like this, and reading the back by himself at King's Dominion in the shade on a bench. And was just intent. I mean, he didn't know we went by, he was so intent on reading what this had. You just don't know what effect something like this. Now, you don't have to have this. You have your testimony, you have your life, but we need to be efficient. So, man, I'll have these at the back. I'll give you more. Let's get the word out. The word of the gospel. Because eternity is at stake. Will you pray with me? Holy God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the challenge that we have to fish for men, but it's more than a challenge, it's a command. But it's not just a command, it's something, Lord, that you have instilled in us, love for each other, but love for the lost. Like you had, you came to seek the lost. May we be ones to say, man, we want to seek the lost. We want to fish for men. We want to love people, loving you, Jesus. May we be that person. May it be who we are, not just a motto of our church. May we love people who love in Jesus. May we be willing to train, to do what it takes, to gain the lures, gain the knowledge, but do it on the job. Take what we have, doing the best with what we have, where we're at. Lord, I pray these things in the precious, holy, and wonderful name of Jesus. Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, the lover of our lives, the lover of our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.